You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
You can support us on Patreon and join our Discord server at patreon.com/WTFolklore.
Happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-da-ha-dee-ho, da-ha-dee-da-ha-dee-ho. Tra-la-dee-da-ha-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-da-ha-dee-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-dee-da-ha-dee-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What the Folklore, Making Sense of Senseless Tales. I am your storyteller, Carmen.
Crime Weaver Tyler.
I'm Gordy, the observer of signs, which I can't actually tell you this week.
Sooth and otherwise.
Can't reveal it.
No.
I did see one. Sooth. Can't tell you. No. This is what
you
happened.
An NDA?
I have discovered, through my work seeing signs, I have discovered a new way to draw perspective. That would end the art world as we know it if it got out.
Interesting.
And so the art world is paying me an annuity every year to keep this quiet. That is the agreement that we came to. Because if this method got out, it would ruin all existing art for everyone. And big art says we can't do that.
Is it kind of like a once you see it, you can't unsee it kind of thing?
Yeah, like once you know this trick, all art that exists that does not use this trick will look like trash.
All previously perceived perspectives are inherently wrong.
Even if it is non-representational art, three-dimensional art.
Doesn't matter.
Performance
doesn't matter.
Art.
Fridge art.
Fridge art, does that mean child art?
Yes.
Yeah, it would just kind of ruin everyone's experience.
So you
looking
are,
at art.
You are now incapable of enjoying art, huh?
I can't look at it anymore. It is unbearable to witness existing art.
Can't touch the stuff personally.
Because I know this secret, which again I cannot reveal. I know that people would probably like to know what that is and maybe use it, and it would make your art look like 100 times better.
I mean, yeah, you know that's what Carmen and I do, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like that's our whole.
And I brings me no joy to share that I know this, but I can't tell you.
Nor can you appreciate our work anymore.
I can't appreciate any art, except for my own scribblings. But I do have
sure.
to burn them afterwards.
Right.
All that I can say. And I think I can get away with this. All that I can say is the next time you see a painting that has some perspective in it, just take another look. take a close look at what's going on. That picture of train tracks, those lines just get closer together.
It's true.
Don't they?
They sure do. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Without revealing the secret itself, can I ask you, how did you come about this? Was it entirely accidental?
Well,
did someone come to you with this?
Well, it was a sign that was given to me.
From on high, as they all have been.
Yeah, from an unnamed power. Whatever provides me with these signs.
And did you approach the art world with this, or did they stop you?
Well, I started putting it into practice.
Okay.
And
was contacted. Somebody found your DeviantArt.
I was contacted, and they said you can't do this anymore because no one's going to go to the Louvre or the or the other that other museum that has all the art in it.
The one,
you know the one that I mean.
Musée d'Orsay. The only art museums are in France.
No one's gonna go there anymore. And
the Goog.
We just can't have that.
So it's not that somebody in the art world was also aware of this. They just saw it and were immediately threatened.
Yeah, they did not know.
Okay. No. I'm just trying to get the facts straight here.
Mm-hmm. Top artists, art scientists are working in secret under cover of Vanta Black.
I mean, it might...
That was a very good joke.
What, Vanta Black? That's a thing.
Yeah. I don't think it is the darkest pigment anymore, but it was for a while the darkest possible pigment in the world. Related to the Chicago Bean Fellow, Anish Kapoor.
Yeah.
Who is a jerk.
Fuligen.
Yeah. Yeah, what they need is to keep this out of Anish Kapoor's hands.
There you go.
At all costs.
I mean, that might be what they're worried about. They didn't name names. I didn't ask for names. Yeah.
Any new art discovery must be monitored carefully for possible Anish Kapoor grubby fingers.
Yeah.
Anishka prints.
Well, a good sooth. Thank you for keeping that under wraps, because I don't feel like making a whole new portfolio.
Yeah, it would.
Even knowing that it would be exponentially better. So much work.
It's more of a time thing. Like, I got till the end of March to get a show together. So if I had to start from scratch now.
Yeah, and maybe if you had heard this a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, like, if Gordy had been a little bit more timely with his discoveries. Anyhow, I'm going to read you two a folktale.
Please do, so that I can stop thinking about how my art could be immeasurably improved if only I could crack open Gordy's head and find the secrets.
Yeah, Tyler and I are going to need to, like, go into some kind of artist support group after this episode is bagged.
I'll tell you what, if you can cough up a bigger annuity payment than than the biggest names in the art world, I will tell you.
After we're done with this, I'll slide a little number over Discord to you, and you tell me how many more zeros I need to add to it.
Yeah.
Do you take payments in adorable cat photos?
I can give you
a lot of those.
I sure don't, because, as I said, all art is ruined for me now.
Oh, that's... dang it.
That was maybe the most insulting thing you could have said, Carmen.
Well... I bet I could be more insulting. don't underplay my ability to insult. In the meantime, to distract ourselves from the imminent end of our entire careers, let's read a story.
Okay.
There were attempts to pull a hat trick, but I get obstinate, defiant when I feel people are trying to control my choices. And also, I'm kind of working, like, back through time in the Discord first and then in our emails, while skipping any, like, duplicate countries. So, no hat trick this time. We're going with a story suggested by Millipedish on the Discord. So thank you, Millipedish.
Thank you.
It's thank also from a
and
source...
And congratulations for the fucking cock block.
It's from a source I can't ignore when it pops up.
Now, why is that?
It's the Pentamerone.
Oh, no.
The tale of tales. Our beautiful, shit-smeared Italian collection of wonderful folklore.
The nasty book.
You may have heard of the good book.
This is the other one.
This is that other one.
Yeah, I was trying to remember the stories we have read from it. I know that the woman who sucks her finger for 7 days and sticks it through the keyhole is from this collection.
Mm-hmm. It is.
I have vague night terror memories of some kind of Golden Goose variant that did include an awful lot more poop than you'd expect.
We also did a bonus episode commentary track over the movie that took some stories from the Tale of Tales.
Yeah, we did. Was that movie good?
It was interesting.
It was a movie.
Don't remember a lot about it.
It was visually stunning.
It's halfway there.
Yeah.
That's a solid, you know, 50% of a movie is being visually interesting.
Just kind of lulling the audience into, oh, you can't enjoy this anymore, though, Gordy. So I suppose it's not a good movie to you.
Yeah, I guess the answer is just always going to be a blanket no.
Well, it's only that doesn't count. It's only like physical art. It's really, I guess, only 2D art.
Static images.
Okay, so performance art is still safe.
Sure, as safe as it is.
Still enjoy theater.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the Pentamerone tale from Italy that we are reading today is The Young Slave. And this one, this particular translation is sourced from genius.com. The very,
cool.
Very humbly named genius.com. So thank you, Milipidish, for giving me an excuse to dive back into the Pentamerone. Are you two ready?
Sure. Let's do it.
Why not?
You emotionally prepared.
Light me up.
The Baroness of Selvascura had an unmarried sister who would go play in the garden with her peers. One day, the girls were out there and they found a lovely rose in full bloom, and as you do when you see a flower that you like, they made an agreement that whoever could jump clean over it without touching a single leaf will win a prize.
To be determined later.
Yeah.
It's like a normal flower?
Yeah, or like this Twizzler that they have, or who knows? We got one of those like little monster finger puppets that where the paint's always off the eyes.
Uh-huh.
So many of the girls did a leapfrog. I guess a couple of them decided that this was not worth the energy. But they all hit the rose until it was the Baron's sister, whose name is Lilla. It's her turn to go. So...
Carmen, sometimes when you describe these little games and challenges that the characters invent in these stories, like this one and like the peeing on the snow mound contest, etc., it makes me think, like, these people couldn't even possibly conceive of Bop-It.
Yeah, this is well before a Bop-It or Twister or Monopoly era.
And it's just a strangely humbling feeling. Like, there's not even space in your brain for the challenge of Bop-It.
Like, at one time, that was an unfathomable technology.
The height of sportsmanship is jumping over this flower.
If you're looking for, I'd say, a relatively safe way to alter time,
there's a number of points in history where you could introduce a Bop-It.
I think that would be like, if you don't want to like go back and kill somebody, which, you know, that's a real butterfly effect. I think just leaving a Bop-It on someone's doorstep is, you know, a few degrees lesser, but a really great addition to their life.
Do you think that they could adapt to a Bop-It quickly, or would it be burned at the stake as a witch?
Yes to both. And I think the second answer is yes because the first answer is yes.
Mm. It's like, oh, well, they think that this is a bad thing. Let's twist it? Flick it?
It is so infectious that it would be immediately suspicious of witchcraft and trickery.
Yeah, like this thing is possessing our people at rapid, like everyone's in the town square boppeting.
And it's so simple to understand.
Anything they could do to
try instructions.
Anything they could do to try to destroy it is only playing by its own rules.
That's interesting, is that would be what should we do with this thing? Let's try to bop it.
Twist it.
Twist it, maybe? Pull it? Pull it apart.
Strike it. But that's what it wants.
It craves it. Every time we do that, it says to do another.
The devil device screams out for pain.
Yeah, we're even well in the timeline before marbles was a fun thing to do. Where people are like, let's have a collection of balls and try and get them in a circle. Or get them out. I forget how marbles works. I do remember playing it for a little while, but like, putting balls in different places was kind of the height of entertainment for a very long time, and that does still continue to this day.
Yeah, you just hit them against each other, trade them around,
give them little names,
breed them,
breed them for
more marbles.
Do you think
breed them for better natures?
Do you think marbles is the origin story of basketball?
I could not begin to answer that question.
There is almost certainly a correct answer to that question, but I'm going to go ahead and say yes.
I'm just thinking, like, I don't know if marbles was the originator of the put balls in different places kind of game, but like, we started somewhere and then we just kept making mutations of that concept until we landed on basketball.
Surely the Aztec game predates marbles and is a lot closer. Yeah, and is a lot closer to basketball.
That is true. There's just a human fascination with moving balls to other places. Part of our psyche.
How old is Mancala?
Quite old.
Because that's,
I think,
is stones, but that's kind of like balls and moving into different zones.
It's close, right? Isn't it? Yeah.
Well, for these girls, they are the balls that they must move over the rows, and most of them suck at it. Which kind of makes me think, like, I don't know that single...
How big is this flower?
Yeah, I don't... Are single roses super
and
tall?
And how restrictive are their bodices?
And how old are they? Because this kind of reminds me of something I did in, like, very early elementary school ballet classes, mm-hmm. when I was like 5, where they put a fake pond in the middle of the floor and we had to jump over that repeatedly.
And she was described as unmarried, right?
Correct.
So that puts her anywhere between born and 13.
So Willa winds herself up like a Hot Wheels car, gives herself like a good running start from far away.
That's how you do it.
Yeah, and she leaps over the rose like a gazelle. Just beautiful, perfect.
Stunning.
Yeah. So even though she made it all the way over, a leaf still fell from it. Unclear if this is her knocking the leaf off or just kind of this rose was done with that particular leaf at that particular moment. But she is pretty quick. And she manages to pick the leaf up from the ground before anyone else noticed. And as you do with evidence, she swallowed it.
I was going to say, eat that shit.
So she won the prize.
Which is?
Good question.
Drum roll, please.
Good question.
Here it comes. Carmen is going to announce the prize in 3, 2, 1. Here she goes. It's coming right up. Listeners, get ready for this amazing prize, Carmen.
Yeah, it doesn't tell us what the prize is.
What do we think it is?
What would a bunch of girls who play in a garden all the time and have no entertainment better than jumping over a rose give as prize?
Like a nice hug, maybe? Just a group hug.
That's nice of them.
And you get to be in the middle of that sandwich.
Just the center of attention for just a moment.
Yeah.
Maybe she gets a marble.
Our only marble. Our only means of entertainment.
You get to hold it for the week until we come up with a new game.
Until we figure out how to breed this fucking thing.
Well, 3 days after this little game was played, Lilla felt herself to be pregnant. So, I'm assuming on the older side of that timeline that you created.
Is this a pot of pinks?
So presumably they're at least teenagers when they're jumping over roses, which makes their lack of entertainment even more tragic, I feel.
Dire. Did she eat part of a man, Carmen?
Like a pot of pinks, part of man.
Yeah.
Maybe. We don't ever meet the Rose again, so it's possible that that is a whole human man.
I appreciate that the number of years we have done this has driven you to say things like, meet the Rose, without losing stride.
Yeah, my standards for reason have slipped dramatically, and it is perhaps affecting my ability to function in regular life.
Hard to be phased anymore.
So this is basically the worst nightmare of every teen girl ever since learning about the facts of life, even if they have not done anything to encourage this result.
Very few would consider that a prize.
No.
Yeah.
Especially given all the stigma surrounding it. But, like, I swear, like, from the age of 13 on, that was just a constant fear in the background, in spite of not engaging in activities that would cause that to happen. So she, of course, nearly dies of grief, because she had not done a fuck, and therefore had no idea how her belly could have swollen like this. However, if it's like a 3-day situation where suddenly you're showing...
Is she maybe just, like, bloated?
Yeah, it might be gas. You might need to just go see a doctor. Well, she goes
To be fair, in that time, they probably would have told her the same thing.
You did a pregnant and now...
Yeah.
Time for jail.
Yeah.
Well, she goes to visit her fairy friends, because she has those. And they tell her, ah, don't worry. This is basically just a normal reaction to swallowing that rose leaf you did.
Idiot. Obviously.
Don't put bits of flour in your mouth if you don't want to have a baby. In fact, be careful about eating anything. Who knows what might be a baby maker?
This is toddler shit. Why do we have to explain this to you?
Stop putting stuff on the ground into your mouth. Sometimes it's babies.
Best to really familiarize herself with toddler shit. at this stage, I would just brace for that reality.
So she's like, okay, well, cool. And then she takes precautions to conceal her condition. And then when the hour of her deliverance came, she gave birth in hiding to a girl named Lisa. And I don't know if this is running off of the, like, Twilight series books timeline of pregnancy, where it's very quick and easy. Or if she had to, like, go for months pretending to just be extremely gassy. So she sent the baby to the fairies, although apparently not to keep, just for, like, fairy gifts and shit. And each fairy gave her some kind of charm, but one of the fairies was in such a rush to see the child that she twisted her ankle really bad. And apparently when fairies are like, fuck, shit, that hurt, that turns into a magic curse. So instead of giving her a charm, this fairy curses her. So that when she's 7 years old, her mom is going to be combing her hair, and then the comb's going to get stuck into her head and kill her.
That classic bit.
Worth considering that some of the curses we're familiar with could just be whoopsies.
Yeah, like if a fairy can't, like, utter a normal ouchie curse when they stub their toe without maybe condemning someone to a very particular end, who knows how many intentional curses there actually are. And also the swear jar, I think, would take a heavy prevalence in the fairy world. You have to train them early not to do with swears. So that's a big old whoopso, and we just kind of time jump to the 7 years in the future. Without
nothing interesting happens between
then and now. We don't address whether the kid is still a secret or how this whole thing's going or what changes with the mom's life in 7 years. Can she still jump over roses? Did she get more prizes? Did the marble
ever bleed? Even want to anymore?
Yeah, who knows? Who knows what happened or how things changed? So the curse goes off as as planned, and the girl collapses, and the sorrowful mother encases her body in a matryoshka of 7 crystal caskets, and then puts her in a distant room of the castle, because castles just have enough unused rooms lying around to make any room a corpse room if you need it. Just store your bodies over here.
Over here we have the matryoshka coffin room.
She kept the key to the room in her pocket, and after some time, her grief was, like, on its way to just killing her, as it often does in these stories. So when she felt the sadness death a-coming upon her, she called her brother to her side, and she told him, "I feel death's hook dragging me away inch by inch. I leave you all my belongings, but don't open the secret door, and keep this key that opens the secret door safely in the casket.
Whatever the fuck you do, please, please, please don't go in there.
Don't use this key that I'm handing you now to unlock the door.
Look me in the eye. Do not. I'm not kidding. Here's the key. Don't do it. But here is the key."
You already have experience swallowing evidence, and you're about to die, so it's not like it can create another kid. So just, I don't know, just shove that key in your mouth.
Eat it. Yeah. Best thing for it.
So the brother gave his word, and she uttered her last words, which are, "Adieu, for the beans are ripe."
One more time.
"Adieu, for the beans are ripe."
What?
Very wise.
Every time I searched, like, every result I had for this phrase was either a gardening result or another variant of this story. So I don't know if this is, like, a colloquialism, or if she was just having weird bean hallucinations.
Yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, a lot of stories use this, like, the final words trope of somebody passing on wisdom. But have we ever really considered that maybe we shouldn't listen to the ramblings of someone whose every function is ceasing simultaneously?
This is perhaps not our greatest source of wisdom draw.
Yeah.
Well, after some years, the brother, like, got married at some point, and he also was invited to a hunting party. And this meant that he needed to leave the house in the care of his new wife, and he begged her not to open that particular room, but also, just in case she needs to know, the key is in the casket. Don't use it, but here's where it is.
Do not, but it's over there.
As soon as he turned his back, she got her suspicious knickers all in a twist, and impelled by jealousy and consumed by curiosity, which is a woman's first attribute.
As we all know.
Mm-hmm. Curiosity?
Yep. Cats and women. Both the same.
Is that a bad thing?
Top of the chart.
I don't think it's a bad thing. I just don't know that it is a correct thing universally.
A true thing.
I think that's a fine trait to have.
I think it's just the blanket statement that, like, all women curious above any other trait.
Yeah.
Number one trait of all women. Everything else secondary. Well, she takes the key and opens the room. And it is, of course, a corpse and a bunch of crystal caskets. And as you do when you find a nesting set of crystal caskets that are filled with a corpse, you open them all one by one. So the corpse appeared to be asleep, which,
many do. That's true of most. Now, the ones I've seen, anyway.
In an unexpected twist, the 7-year-old had grown like any other woman. Well, in these...
So that's not typical for a corpse.
Yeah, that part's unusual. However, this
wife... That's the weird part.
Yeah. Well, this wife doesn't know, like, origin story here, so...
Right. That's just information for us.
Yeah. And also because the writer didn't have an eraser, it had to clarify that the caskets had lengthened with her. The mom hadn't, like, ordered an adult length casket for the base one. Although, why?
I feel like that would be like I wouldn't have thought about that if you didn't point it out.
Thought about the lengthening. It was the first thing I thought about, and then the author like addressed that in the next breath, and I was like, okay.
I would have just assumed that this ornate casket was too big for a child in the first place.
And it probably was. And I'm thinking if you're like, if your average person's height for your base casket and you're nesting that into 7 caskets total, that this whole casket situation is 1, hella heavy. And 2, maybe the size of a swimming pool. Baronesses are very excessive.
That's true. This is what we know.
So the jealous woman thinks, well, by my life, this is a fine thing. Keys at one's girdles, yet nature makes horns. No wonder he never let anyone open the door and see the Muhammad he worshipped inside the caskets. I'm not entirely sure what the keys at one's girdle, yet nature makes horns is trying to communicate.
The keys at one's girdles, yet nature makes horns?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing good.
Like, I assume it's referring to him, like, holding on to the keys to this thing, and he's a bit of a devil cad.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume that the Muhammad he worshipped inside the caskets is a fun racist way to say an idol that he's mm-hmm. made of this girl. Because mm-hmm. we're in a very Catholic location, I believe.
Yeah.
But this lady sucks. So, she seizes the girl by the hair and drags her out, which causes the comb to drop out so that she wakes and yells for her mother. And at this point, I am going to offer a trigger warning for the next most of the story, for domestic abuse and suicidal ideation.
Yeesh.
So you can skip it at this point.
See you next week. She has the mind of a child still, I assume.
I would assume so. I mean, we also assume this about the pot of pinks and
that. Yeah,
that
sure.
was still a horny flower boy. So. Yeah, just keep...
it's whatever the author needs it to be.
Yep. So the wife, who I suppose counts as her aunt, shouts, "I'll give you." The comb drops out, and she wakes up and yells for her mom because 7-year-old brain and woman's body. So the wife shouts, "I'll give you a mother and father too," because she's as bitter as a slave, as angry as a bitch with a litter of puppies, and as venomous as a snake.
Why? This is just what she is.
Yeah, these are her character traits. It was on her OkCupid profile before this guy married her. But there was also like a bathing suit picture, so I just sort of skimmed the rest.
So it was got like, it. Got to swipe right on that. Is that the good way?
I don't know. I've never used Tinder.
I think right is yes.
But yeah, like her top traits are curiosity, followed by bitter, angry as bitch with litter of pups, venomous as snake.
Hell yeah.
So she cut off the girl's hair and then thrashed her with her own tresses, which points for creativity there, and then dresses her in rags. Which I assume if she was dressed in 7-year-old clothing and then kept growing in corpse status, her regular clothes were probably pretty close to the rag situation anyway.
Probably.
Every day this woman heaped blows on the girl's head and added bruises to her face, which led to blackening her eyes and making her mouth look like she'd eaten raw pigeons. Very specifically, raw pigeons.
Mm-hmm.
That's a headspace that I'm familiar with.
Yep. I am curious what this writer's existence was like, that is the metaphor. Or the simile, I suppose, in this case, that first popped into his mind. It's like, oh, I know what's going to evoke the correct image in everyone's minds. It's like she ate raw pigeons.
I know what everyone will have a point of reference for.
We've all done it.
and none of us are proud.
It's a dark moment when you're like chewing squaw. I don't. What's the name for pigeon meat?
Pigeon?
Yeah, there's like a squab, I believe.
Is it? I would just say pigeon.
Yes, squab, young immature pigeon. The meat is very tender.
That's why did we make that word?
So that we could eat pigeons raw, obviously. Yeah, so yeah, we've all eaten raw squab, and it's all been a deep, dark moment in our lives. But it is a common touch point. So the husband comes back from his hunting party, which I suppose was like a big hunting week trip with the guys. And he's like, what is this shit? Who's this girl? And his wife answered that she was a slave sent by the wife's aunt and is only fit for the rope's end, and one had to forever be beating her. Kind of like a boppet.
But like one that breathes and thinks.
Yeah.
A sentient boppet.
And it's the only way to keep the boppet working. So it happened one day when the Baron had the occasion to go to a fair that he asked everybody in his house, including the cats, what they wanted him to buy for them.
Did a single cat answer?
They gave him that long look that says, get me chicken, idiot.
I'm in the sun right now. Stop talking to me.
But do get me a whole chicken.
And a water bowl away from my food.
Or I will put bits of chicken in the water to ruin it and then be mad about it.
And stare at you like it's your fucking fault.
And I'll just drink drips out of your tap instead of the water because I ruined it.
So everyone in the household chose what they wanted from the fair, and he finally got to the slave girl, but his wife then flew into a rage and acted in a very unchristian fashion, shouting, that's right. Class her with all the others. Let everyone be brought down to the same level and all use the urinal.
Hmm?
Again, I don't know if this is a colloquialism that just got translated weird, or...
Can you repeat that phrase?
That's right. Class her with all the others. Let everyone be brought down to the same level and all use the urinal.
I guess that kind of tracks... Everybody has to go to the bathroom sooner or later.
You're saying that the urinal is an equalizer.
Yeah. I mean, urinal is a bad example because about half the population doesn't regularly use urinals. But I think what she's saying is the toilet comes for all of us.
In the end.
A truth as universal as pigeon eating.
Yeah. We've all had to go bathroom, and we've all done it because we ate pigeon.
So then she tells him, don't pay so much attention to a worthless bitch. Let her go to the devil. And I didn't add the curse in there. This is a very potty mouth story.
She's so angry.
Yeah, this woman is just super mad all the time. But the Baron is a kind and courteous fellow who doesn't read OkCupid profiles, and he's like, no, she gets to ask for something. So the girl asks for a doll, a knife, and a pumice stone, and she says, if you forget them, may you never be able to cross the first river you come to on your journey.
On just the once?
Yeah, just the first one.
Or every journey?
Maybe every journey, though the once might be enough to kind of...
Yeah, the once is probably enough to make sure there isn't any other journey.
Yeah.
So the Baron goes to the fair, he buys everyone else's shit, but he did in fact forget just these exact things.
It means you just kind of have to reset your Oregon Trail game and hope for a seed with no rivers. Every time you go.
Carmen, it may just be that I am built different.
Uh-huh.
But I feel like those are the only items I would have remembered.
Because they came with a curse?
They came with a curse and a threat.
I would have for sure written them down.
Yeah, I would keep a list. It's a lot of people if you're also including the cats in your querying.
Which I am.
And she also asked for three things, so greedy? Come on. So he forgets those things, and he comes to a river that as the story describes, carried down stones and trees to the shore to lay the foundations of fears and raise the walls of wonder. Which I assume is purple prose for it's a really big and fast river.
Uh-huh.
And he couldn't ford it. Then he remembers, oh yeah, I got a spell put on me. I gotta go shopping again. And he turns around and buys the things, and then he's able to get home fine and give out all the gifts. No further complications needed. So Lisa gets her shit and she goes to the kitchen. She sets the doll in front of her and begins to weep and lament and tell all her troubles to it like it was a real person. And also like she is in fact a 7-year-old trapped in a woman's body. When the doll didn't reply, she took the knife, sharpened it on the pumice stone, and then threatens the doll's life. The doll swells up like a reed and answers, "All right, I've understood you. I'm not deaf.
And I am alive."
This music, as the story describes the conversation, goes on for a couple of days.
Ugh.
And then the Baron, who had a little room on the other side of the kitchen that I can only assume is his special Baron snacking room, where he keeps special Baron's treats. Because I don't know what other specific little room he'd need next to the kitchen, but... he was in his snacking room, eating his Lorna Doones, and he chanced to hear the song. Which, again, I assume is just this back-and-forth conversation.
It's a conversation.
Yeah. So he put his eye to the keyhole, and he watched Lisa tell a summarized version of the entire story we've heard up to this point to the doll. Lisa has now moved on to the manipulation tactic of no longer threatening violence to the doll, but threatening violence to herself with the knife if the doll doesn't answer her. So she sharpens it on the pumice stone, and she's about to do a bad thing when the Baron kicks down the door and takes the knife from her hand. He made her tell him the story again, hooray, but with more detail. Luckily,
hooray
it doesn't
for you,
do that.
Carmen.
Luckily it doesn't go into the more detail, but... He requests another telling, then embraces her and takes her out of the house and leaves her with one of his relations to heal from all the bullshit from his bad OkCupid wife. So when she's hot again, he takes her home and introduces her as his niece, and he gives out a big old banquet for everybody, and he has her tell the contents of the story again, which makes...
Are you fucking kidding me?
Luckily, this one's just, like, he makes her tell it again, and it doesn't try and, like, list out what's happening.
It doesn't literally happen in the story.
Yeah, this is not quite to Dalnoa levels. But the story makes all the guests weep and totally kills the vibe of this party. It's, like, worst way to throw a party. but I suppose having everybody sad gives him the excuse to publicly drive his wife away. And send her back to her parents, it says. So I was like, take this. I'm returning this one. Return to sender. I would like my warranty. Then he gives his niece the gift of a hot husband of her own choice, which is a nice inversion of the usual trope of she's the gift to someone else. So they find some hunk of man meat and they gift it to her. And she then testifies, "Heaven rains favors on us when we least expect it." The end.
What a moral.
Yep. Sometimes stuff is shit, and then sometimes it's pretty good.
Have you noticed?
Have I noticed that sometimes things are good and sometimes not?
Yeah.
I have.
Well, this story confirms that for you, in case you were concerned about its...
Sometimes, even on the same day.
It's true. So, initial thoughts about the story.
I'm glad to be through it.
Yeah.
It had a lot less poop than past ones we read.
Had a lot less than it could. That's for sure.
Do we need to add more?
I would spend a lot more time on the big plot.
Yeah, I know you would, Carmen.
Well, I mean, like, the plot that resembles the film Big.
Oh.
Where a 7-year-old is now adjusting to being an adult out of nowhere. you know, like giving her character an agency.
Yeah, but that's your modern brain talking. We're lucky that back then they cared about her at all.
Yeah, she
to did, even mention her.
She did get use of a knife, but I don't think she
got
a
name.
Yeah, she did get a name.
It's a big step.
I don't think she used it in Church of the Knife fashion.
No, it was really. Almost entirely the opposite.
Yeah, that's just a very un-robber girl-esque expression of knife usage. We have definitely seen this trope of the talk to some kind of doll situation. I think we've even seen it with knife threats involved. I would like more of sassy doll character. I feel like that's a character who could use some fleshing out in this.
Just like some punch up lines.
Yeah, just
so
a
she
lot
can,
of
she can yell jokes over the action.
Correct. Yes. A lot of off-screen doll antics that we can distantly hear while we watch this girl tell the story three times.
Most of this is going to be ADR because we did not get enough shots of the doll's face.
It's, yeah. And we did incinerate the doll afterwards, so can't...
No reshoots.
Can't go back.
That's a good practice.
Get the film in the can and then incinerate all sets and props before edits.
It is definitive.
I'm not.
We only
I'm not
move
like,
forward.
Yeah, I'm not like necessarily either down or not down with ghosts, spookums, etc. But like, I'm not gonna fuck with it. Whether ghosts are real or not, I'm not here to invite anything in.
It's just not a chance worth taking.
So, yeah. So are you saying that you would burn everything on the movie set because it could become haunted otherwise?
You could sure do that.
Is this a philosophy you carry into regular life? Like, if something is past a certain age, it definitely has an increased likelihood of ghost?
If something's probably haunted, then I think get rid of it. Whatever that means to you. I don't keep old weird dolls around that could be haunted.
We have at least one person on the Discord who specifically collects old weird dolls that could be haunted.
Yeah. And that is the energy that I don't necessarily need to fuck with, just in case. I encourage everyone else to, though. So you can tell me what happens.
It also kind of concentrates the hauntings into smaller areas.
Yeah.
Like haunting containment centers. And it's just someone's apartment.
Yeah. Like I'm interested. I do want to know what happens, but I don't keep weird leather bound books that could be some kind of Necronomicon. Not worth it.
Do you try to keep everything like under a certain decade in your home to prevent any ghost entrapment?
It's more about just its energy.
Its vibes.
Yeah. More concerned with vibes than a specific age.
What if it's a leather-bound cookbook haunted by the ghost of a nice, like, grandmotherly figure who hangs out in the kitchen?
Don't need it.
Who gives recipe advice?
Don't need it. I have the internet for that.
Keeps your souffles from collapsing.
I have never made a souffle. If I was gonna get into souffle making, then maybe we'll talk with the grandmother ghost.
Maybe we'll get a ghost involved to help us.
When it becomes relevant, sure, maybe. Let's talk and see what the arrangement might be. Until then, no thank you.
I would like to see more highly specific ghost stories in the world. No more of these just like general woo monsters hanging out in closets and shaking like, door handles and things.
Like, pitiful.
Like this ghost comes out once a year to do my taxes, and I love it.
Best ghost.
A primo ghost to have.
I was quite jealous of the Ondegeist in one of Terry Pratchett's Tiffany Aching books, which is the reverse poltergeist, and it just keeps everything in order.
Just neatly tucks chairs away.
Yeah, and you had to like keep it occupied by mixing salt and sugar together, and then it would sort out the grains for a while if you needed to do something that was a little less clean. I feel like there may be some useful ghosts to have. Souffle ghost and organization ghost and taxes ghost I would be all down for. They didn't kill the wife in this one, which is almost progressive.
I guess.
And they chose a Chippendales man for the main character, which is also almost progressive. Or it's regressive in a different direction than usual. Which, if you squint really hard, looks like progressive. I would say after watching reading several of these stories, to be really careful while combing. Because this is also not our first instance of comb knocking somebody out and presuming dead.
To your points about almost being progressive, I think especially compared to the other Pantamarone stories that we've read, it kind of is an outlier in that way.
It's true.
Not in that I think it is progressive, but it is just different enough to, like you say, appear as though if you squint.
Yeah, if you like take a surface level at a distance, quick glance at this, it can look progressive, and then you can be like, hmm.
You're like, this one's different.
And then if you put on your glasses and stare at it for more than a couple of minutes, you're like, oh no. No, this is still shit. There's still a lot of shit in this. It's just not as literal as the other shit that we have read in these stories.
It's ultraviolet shit.
I wonder why the lady was so angry.
Yeah.
Like, what happened to her?
I know that the story just wants to present it as, like, that's just who she is, but there has to be a reason.
Yeah, like sometimes...
And it doesn't have to be, like, a tragic backstory or anything like that. Just, like,
what's going on in your...
Why do you feel this way?
Yeah, like, there's typically something else under the surface. It's not just being a bitch to be a bitch. It doesn't have to be an excusable or good reason. But there's usually a reason. So I'd be curious about her. I'm curious about Sassy Doll. Although at first, my thought there was, like, 7-year-old expecting the imagination to work and the way that it did when you were 7, and now you're an adult, and that, like, realization that the toys aren't as alive as they used to be, and just not being able to parse that. But then, if we went down that path, we'd lose Sassy Doll, who, for one brief moment in this story, is the best character written.
Is a shining light.
Yes. So, I would like to shine more of that.
There's probably a way to get that cake and also eat it.
Yeah. I'd maybe take a knife away from this girl.
Yeah.
Because it is almost a heresy to the Church of the Knife.
It's insulting to us specifically.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can also remove one of the trigger warnings. So that would make things a little bit better, because it's manipulative as hell to do both of those things that she did with the knife.
Yeah.
So she doesn't get a knife. She just gets a doll, and that way she's also asking for only one thing, like everyone else, including cats. So, Gordy, vibe checks?
More doll.
Doll, good vibes, rest of story, meth vibes?
It's a real mixed bag of vibes.
A boppet of vibes.
Yeah.
What was your favorite boppet action to take?
Just in life?
Well, like, in the boppet game.
Mm-hmm. Are we talking about regular boppet?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Twisted.
I think Twisted was mine, too.
I think
it's probably boring to say, but I have to go with the titular one.
The boppet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't like Flick It specifically. It always hurt my finger.
Yeah. Pull It kind of the same.
Mm-hmm.
Always felt like I was going to break the thing.
There's something, like, fun about Twisted.
It felt, like, very tactilely satisfying when you did it.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Spin It, pretty good addition.
Is that an upgraded, like, advanced boppet?
Well, that's with the Flick It.
Oh.
That's okay. The boppet extreme. The original flavor is just bop, twist, pull.
Okay.
And then they added Flick and Spin.
I don't know if I remember Spin. I feel like Spin would be fun. But now we have video games, so...
We've come a long way.
So not a lot of room left for Boppets and Mr. Buckets.
Unfortunately, it's the way the world has gone.
So thank you, Millipedish, for suggesting this Pentamaroon tale.
Thank you.
Thank you all for listening to the show, sharing it with folks who ask for podcast recommendations on various social media platforms. Feel free to share opinions, etc. with us on Twitter. And thank you to all of our patrons who help support the show and keep us running and let our stuff stay up on the interwebs. Thank you to our top tier patrons. Lucky, Lunan, Maxwell, Queen Savagery, Deposed, Trickery Treats wishes our dear Crime Weaver a belated happy birthday, There's a Fist-Sized Monkey on My Back, Hitirius, Midori, Baby Grandma, Becca, A Friendly Lobster, Kelly, Big Prince Want Dance, Awkward, Project Bird Fall Informant, Funky Little Strawberry, Lemur, Spaghetto Floating Around in a Duck Pond, Caitlin, Danielle, An Increasingly Distressed Faye, Olwyn, Queen of Terrible Taste, Allie, New Year, New Dad, Compass Cat, Vespa is Lost in the Woods, Versus, Keeper of Too Many OCs, Pyrus, Nathan the Scott, Alex, Banjo Bug, Dastardly Dave, Dare's Difficult Descriptor, Maya, Gray, Goetic Prince of the Arcane, Hylistus of Wimbus, Yahweh Yahweh, a dubious little creature, Haley, Dominic, Justin, Lily, Izzy, and Jenna. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you always, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
We're What the Folklore, and that's how it works.
Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, hi-di-ho, tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, she lived happily ever after.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have story suggestions for us, please send them to wtfolklore@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales. If you enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.